In southeast, between Chichagof and Baranof Islands, there's a waterway called Peril Strait. The name doesn't come from winds ripping through the channel, but from a shocking event that happened in 1799.
A Russian ship came in, and the villagers had gone out and collected a bunch of clams from an area now called Poison Cove.
Jeff Feldpouch is the Resource Protection Director for Sitka Tribe of Alaska. The incident he's describing is the earliest documented case of PSP in the state. After eating the shellfish, 100 Aleut crew members of fur trader Alexander Baranof died.
They only made it a few miles to the area that's now called Dead Man's Reach.
Eat the wrong clam and you can die on the beach. That's the grim pathology for PSP, which one state publication in 1982 called Alaska Roulette. In order to protect subsistence harvesters, the Sitka tribe decided to invest in the latest science and to look really closely at what the clams themselves are eating.
So it's 10 a.m., it's sunny, it's calm.
Esther Kennedy, who works for STA, is collecting water samples at the Stargavin dock.
I'm going to start a 3-minute timer.
From far away, it looks like she's flying an underwater kite, dragging a net sedately through the water as microscopic creatures called phytoplankton get trapped inside.
Most plankton is just beautiful, and it looks like little Christmas ornaments. And I have no problem with that, but it's a little bit unnerving to be looking at that. Like, how many of those have I swum through in the past?
The vast majority of phytoplankton are totally harmless. But a few of them, particularly of the genus Alexandrium, they look kind of like an acorn under the microscope, produce a chemical called saxitoxin. Saxitoxin is 1,000 times more potent than cyanide, so potent it's listed as a chemical weapon by the U.S. military. Saxitoxin is what's responsible for PSP.
Right. 3 minutes are up, so I just take the net out of the water.
Kennedy will take these drops of water back to the lab and, using a microscope, count what kinds of phytoplankton, toxic or not, are in the water that week. So how do these tiny creatures poison us? Kennedy says it works like this. When toxic-bearing phytoplankton accumulate in the water, it's known as a harmful algal bloom, or a HAB. Some HABs are visible, even red, earning the nickname Red Tide, but many are not. As shellfish feed, the bloom's toxins get trapped inside and have the potential to poison whoever eats the shellfish, whether a sea lion in Kodiak or a subsistence user in Kluwak.
Here we are living with hundreds of bears that wander through the street and everybody's scared of the clams.
Chris Whitehead joined STA's Resource Protection Department in the fall of 2013. In his former home of Washington State, there's a hotline you can call to know which beaches are safe for shellfish digging.
You have reached the Washington State Department of Health Shellfish Safety Hotline.
No such system exists in Alaska. So Whitehead wanted to create a local solution. He pitched the idea for a HAB monitoring program to several tribes. The response was instant.
This is kind of the first step, or kind of the poster child for collaboration on environmental issues.
According to Jeff Feldpouch, 6 other tribes have signed on for the project. Together, they form Southeast Alaska Tribal Toxins Group, or SEAT, with membership from Sitka, Juneau, Yakutat, Petersburg, Kluwak, Craig, and Kasan.
Right now, we're just collecting from the Yakutat Lagoon.
That's Matt Anderstrom, who does the water testing for Yakutat Tlingit Tribe. The lab had its first sighting of Alexandrium last week. That's the one that makes saxitoxin. The tiny piece of plankton was spotted by his younger daughter, Nellie.
I've got flashcards and identification keys. She was asking what the bad ones looked like, and as soon as she seen it, she lit up, and there it is right there.
Using the data field workers like Anderstrom and Kennedy are gathering, each tribe hopes to eventually create an early warning system for toxic bloom events in their area. In Sitka, Feldpouch imagines it will be a stoplight published in the daily paper.
A green should be good to go, a yellow is proceed with caution, and a red we have found saxitoxins out there.
Right now, the Sitka tribe is only testing the waters at Stargavin, and Feldpouch recognizes that may not be enough.
Eventually, we may be able to grow and do other areas, but I imagine there's probably 50, 60 beaches around here that people get their shellfish from, and there's no way to cover all those areas.
Each tribe has focused their first year of fieldwork on one site, and for Sitka, the choice of Stargavin is strategic. In 2013, two locals suffered mild PSP cases in the middle of October.
So it used to be, you know, wintertime was somewhat safe. You didn't have to worry about it. But with climate change and warming ocean conditions, the bloom might last all the way through October, November.
So the old rule of thumb that safe harvesting months had an R in them, basically September through April, is no longer true. With PSP a threat any time of year, Whitehead believes it's more important than ever for communities to reclaim their beaches and to know exactly what lurks beneath the water. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.